All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Rinkwide Vancouver. Inside the Rinkwide studios in the lower lobby of the Wall Center Hotel. If you're thinking about wedding space, the Wall Center can meet your every need, from small family gatherings to big, bold weddings and receptions. Consider the Wall Center. If you're looking for wedding and reception space, email them sales@wallcenter.com. Jeff Patterson joined on this episode of Rinkwide by Irfan Ghaffar. Didn't look good early, Irf, but nope. At the end it says 4 for the Canucks, 3 for the defending champs. It's a win that they had to have, and maybe it just lowers the angst level throughout this market.
Yeah, the collective breath at Rogers Arena when those two early goals went in, the Vegas Golden Knights was completely taken out. But look, the Vancouver Canucks showed one thing, and they haven't done that against big playoff teams all season long, and that's resiliency. They were able to come back in this hockey game, and the way they did it, the guys they did it with, and the milestones of this game. Yeah. We'll jump all into it, obviously, but a huge win for this Vancouver Canucks hockey team who now clinches home ice in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, Rinkwide, a presentation of Applewood Auto Group. You mentioned the milestones, big round numbers, 40 for Brock, 100 for JT Miller, who got to 99 points a couple of years ago, and Bruce Boudreau played the wheels off him in overtime in Edmonton in the final game of the regular season to try to get him to the century mark. Quite honestly, I didn't know if he would get back anywhere close to 100 points. So to do it with four games remaining for the Vancouver Canucks, hats off to JT and hats off to Brock. I mean, it's been a great season for Brock Besser. It's taken him a little while to get to 10, to get to 40, but this is now, from this point forward, if he can add to his total, it's gravy. But for him to reach 40 goals in a season when we all wondered if he could get to 30, and to do it on a night where the Canucks were down early, yep, and you could feel the nervous energy. I think Artur Sylla is perhaps feeling a little bit of nervous energy too. Not the start the team was looking for, especially after going down too early the other night in Los Angeles, going down too early at T-Mobile last week when they saw the defending champs. This is a gritty, gutty effort by the Vancouver Canucks. People are asking, you know, who have they beaten? How have they stacked up and fared against other teams that are headed to the playoffs here in the Western Conference? They can look to the comeback effort here, and you're right. It was the power play that got the ball rolling. It was top-end players. Quinn Hughes was dealing again for the Vancouver Canucks. Not quite the round numbers, but he's up to 88 points on the season with four games still remaining for the captain to get the 90. So I have a feeling that he's going to have a round number in his future, yeah, as well. I think this was gut check time. And I'm not sure that certainly there are hardcore fans that are going to stick with this team through thick and thin, but I do think that there were several that were wondering, and even people on the outside in other markets looking at this Vancouver team that was faltering a little down the stretch, for them to spot Vegas 2 and then come roaring back, and the energy in the building, I was there. It was fun. Obviously, when Besser scored to tie it at three, and then Garland, boy, did he have the grease working tonight, getting to the dirty areas of the ice, the power play goal, and then sneaking out from behind the net to grab that loose puck and stuff it home for what turned out to be the game winner. And then I liked the way they protected the third period. They didn't give Vegas much. There was the penalty kill when Elias Pettersson got called for interference with under 10 minutes to play, and a penalty kill that's, man, it's taken on a ton of water here recently.
Well, of course, yeah.
But it rose to the challenge there as well. So credit to the penalty killers. And Rick Tocchet had to be delighted with just the sort of return to the staples and the structure and everything else to give up three, but slam the door closed from there and win it by a score of 4-3.
Well, I think one of the things you mentioned, a lot of people, some not in this market, talking about the team and the Vancouver Canucks and how they were looked at, how they're viewed. Frank Saravalli said that he didn't think that a lot of teams or a lot of people were quaking in their boots to play the Vancouver Canucks on games like this, when the Canucks power play is clicking, when the penalty kill is clicking, and when they're doing things at 5-on-5 and not taking dumb penalties, not doing stupid things like Rick Tocchet says, stick penalties. The Canucks are a very hard team to beat. They don't have Elias Lindholm, and they don't have their number one penalty killer and perhaps one of their most important players, and that's Thatcher Demko. So a solid night for the Vancouver Canucks to do it without those two players as well as they have been, but 39th career three-point night for JT Miller. Wild. Like you mentioned, obviously, the 100 points, we didn't really know if he was going to get there. He got to 99, didn't think it was going to get there. Maybe not this season. Just the player that he has become since arriving in Vancouver. That contract, I know a lot of people looked at it when it was signed and said, wow, that's way too much money for a guy like him. You look at the production of some of the guys that are above him and those numbers and what they're getting paid. You might say it's a bit of a steal right now, Jeff.
Well, he negotiated off the 99-point season, but he's earning that money here with 100 and counting, again, with 4 games to go. And we'll see what the Canucks do if they're locked into a playoff matchup or if they lock down first place. You do wonder if that game in Winnipeg, will there be some nights off for some of the key players? They keep saying they're taking it day by day, so they won't worry about the game on April 18th. Their focus now will turn to the Arizona Coyotes, who come in for the second game of this 2-game homestand. That's on Wednesday, and then the game on Saturday against the Edmonton Oilers. Now, the Canucks just beat the Golden Knights. All of a sudden, the Canucks are going to be buying Golden Knights jerseys and hats and pom-poms. You won't find a group that's going to cheer for the Vegas Golden Knights harder than the Vancouver Canucks, because Vegas goes to Edmonton, and obviously the Golden Knights could do the Canucks a favor in terms of that race for top spot in the division if they can knock off Connor McDavid. And the Oilers, who will be well-rested, they've had a few days off, but then Edmonton finishes with 6 games in 9 nights, and I think that's part of what ultimately is going to catch up to this Edmonton Hockey Club. But the big showdown coming up on Saturday. But look, hockey math is pretty simple. This deep into the season, the Vancouver Canucks now 48-22-8 on the season, 104 points. So they have opened up a 5-point lead again on the Oilers. Canucks have 4 games remaining. Edmonton's got 6. But if the Canucks can go 2-2, and you look at their schedule, home games remaining against Arizona and Calgary, if the Canucks can go 2-2, it's going to force Edmonton to go 5-1. So there is still a way that the Canucks can fall in Edmonton on Saturday and still take care of business as long as the Oilers falter somewhere else in that 6-game-in-9-night stretch. So
yeah, you're asking a lot from the Edmonton Oilers there to do that and just, you know, absolutely that. But for the Vancouver Canucks, I mean, you still want to be playing at your best. I think if you ask a lot of the guys in that room, they'll say it. You know, we haven't been at our best. Now, this is the trajectory leading to where they want to be. You know, everything was going well for them. But I think if you're Rick Tocchet, you're definitely pleased with this performance. You look at this one and you say, how do we build on this? Because we just went out and potentially beat our first round opponent.
Let's go back to the minute 51 second mark. Well, actually, we'll start before that because it was actually a pretty good start for the Vancouver Canucks. Dakota Joshua set up neatly by Connor Garland would have brought the roof down there. And then moments later, Hoglander in tight. There was loose puck. And the Canucks did a nice job of getting pucks to the net and then getting bodies there as well. 2 close calls for the Canucks. The Golden Knights go back the other way. What was going through your mind when the puck went right through Artur Silov's?
Well, you got to get something in front of it, right? I think that, you know, it was... You're going to have that save. I think a lot of people in the building, a lot of people watching, I think a few of his teammates probably would suggest that as well. I mean, you and I talked about it before. We kind of laughed about it and said, you know, the goaltenders do have a lot of equipment on. You got to get something on it. And he didn't. Unfortunately, it ends up in the back of your net. But it wasn't that one. You can't blame him really on the second one either, Jeff. No. That one, not at all. When Eichel got going early, you thought that it could be a really long night for Vancouver.
The Canucks got their fair share of Eichel last week down in Vegas. 9 shots on goal. It was a force every time he had the puck. I mean, he was going. He was in on all 3 of the Vegas goals. 2 of them coming on the power play, penalty kill remains a hot button issue for this Vancouver Hockey Club, but penalty killing wasn't great for the Golden Knights either. There was a lot of power play goals, four, in fact, two each way. So the much maligned Canucks power play, for me, this game turns on a silly decision by Brett Howden in front of the players' benches. It's 2-0 Vegas. They've got everything going their way. The Canucks, you could feel the nervous energy that we talked about. Canucks certainly were back on their heels and felt a little shell shock. And Brett Howden, not once, but twice, elects to cross-check Connor Garland. He got away with the first one. I think the refs were going to let him get away with the first one, but for some reason goes back, gets a second one in. And this Canuck team that had the air come out of its balloon, down 2-0, the young goaltender, and you're wondering where the night's going to go for him. The Canucks go on the power play, and Earth, that's as determined as we have seen the Canucks power play, yeah, possibly since the All-Star break. I mean, that looked like early season Canuck power play. They weren't going to be denied. Work the puck around. Connor Garland on the business end is first of two on the night. Hughes and Miller get the assist. The 12-minute mark are just a shade under 11:50, the time of that goal. So now the Canucks are on the board. The people are into it. And then they go back to work on the power play. Quinn Hughes takes the hit up high, the check to the head. And the Canucks, and of course, it's their captain who has found this goal-scoring touch of late. Fourth goal in the last four games for him. He's up to 17 on the season. Two goals came on eight power play shots, and it was Elias Pettersson, the first power play shot of the night. Yeah. And you could sort of feel like he meant business off the draw, the one-timer. There was just a determination in this group, again, to get pucks to the net, get bodies there as well. You look at the two goals, Garland off a scramble and Hughes through traffic. We haven't said it often, but the power play looked awfully good in that opening 20 minutes.
Well, I think it had purpose, yeah, right? And I think that was the one thing that Rick Tocchet and, you know, everyone on his staff, when you look at it, there wasn't really much purpose with his power play. You know, they have guys, get your stars the puck and get it to the net. It's a very simple thing. I think that a lot of people watching this team were saying that, you know, everything was perimeter. Everything went through JT Miller all of the time. Well, now you have different looks and you have a guy like Connor Garland not coming over top of you because he's a little guy, skates right under the defenseman for a lot of times. And I'm not saying that as a joke or being mean, but, you know, he's a guy that for his size, he is so effective because of the way that he plays. Guys don't like playing against him. Same thing as Nils Höglander, Jeff. When you look at it and you can get those guys into those positions, good things generally do happen.
They spotted Vegas a 2-0 lead in Vegas last week, got one back on the Nils Höglander goal, but they couldn't equal it. The other night in Los Angeles, down too early, Brock Besser gets them on the board at 2-1, but they couldn't find the equalizer there. Here they do find their way back on an even footing. And at that point, you can hit reset and just sort of exhale. It stays 2-2 to the middle stages of the second period. Carson Soucy gets called for a trip in the neutral. It was a weird play because the Canucks were applying pressure. And as Soucy kind of circles out in the neutral zone, he puts his stick on the guy. And, you know, is it a clear-cut penalty? Could the refs turn a blind eye? Whatever. You put your stick on a player and haul him down like that. You're asking the referee to make a decision, a split second decision. And on a night and in a run here where the Canucks haven't been killing penalties, well, it wasn't a great play by Carson Soucy. Canucks go back on the penalty kill and it lasted, what, 5 seconds? No, yeah. Hanifin win the faceoff. Hanifin had all kinds of time to walk to the middle of the ice. You know, was it a great goal? No, he would have liked to save there as well. You know, 3-2, all of a sudden, all the hard work to get back on even terms and you're trailing again. But that didn't last long. 4 minutes later, great play by Brock Besser to sort of find that soft spot in the middle of the ice into the slot. And you're right, the goal doesn't happen without Elias Pettersson. He gets the assist on it. Tyler Myers does as well. But Brock Besser, lethal from those shooting areas when he's got time. Such a huge part of it was Elias Pettersson taking the eyes away from Logan Thompson right on the doorstep. We saw a little bit of that out on the road trip as well. It's been a good season that way of getting to the net, screens. Yeah. We haven't seen them score on as many as they did early. I mean, they haven't scored nearly at the rate that they did early in the season. But, you know, for the detractors, those in the group, you know, see Elias Pettersson doing things, you know, it's not easy to stand your ground in front of the net like that. Generally, you're going to take a beating from defensemen. You know, again, I think this was another solid step forward for Elias Pettersson. He was involved at the end of the first period. You saw him in the going back at the Vegas players and getting sort of into a physical altercation that you don't see him involved in an awful lot. Takes the penalty in the third, and again, a few dicey moments for the Vancouver Canucks. But no, I just like that play from Pettersson to stand his ground. Edge of the blue paint. I know the officials talked about it, but there was no challenge from the Golden Knights. Goal stood. And at that point, again, the Canucks are right back into it. It's tied at 3. And 5 minutes after that sets the stage for Connor Garland. JT Miller with the shot. His third assist of the night. Thompson can't handle it cleanly. And there's Garland to sneak out from behind the net. 18th goal of the season. And there's still time here for him to have his first 20-goal season as a Vancouver Canuck. And the way that he's going, the way that he's playing, the way that he's producing, I'm not going to bet against him. Yeah. We'll see how things shake out here. But obviously a big night for Connor Garland. We'll have our three stars a little bit later on. He will factor into them. Investor to be a 40-goal scorer and Connor Garland to do what he's done really since Christmas, the way that he has played for the Vancouver Canucks. Two guys that felt like they were going to get run out of town. This team couldn't give away. And just look at what they've done for the hockey club here now and the roles that they play for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because that's the point that I was going to bring up. You know, Brock Besser, all the trade talk about him over the last couple of seasons. You mentioned a guy that he couldn't get rid of, a guy that went to Patrick Alvin in the summer and says that, you know, he's committed and he wants to be here and he didn't want to be traded. So that's one guy, 40 goals this season. Now, Connor Garland, before the season starts, the news comes out that he changes his agents. Why do players do that? Well, generally looking for a trade. Other National Hockey League GMs and the Vancouver Canucks couldn't trade him. Now he has another really good season. And this is exactly the player that the Canucks wanted when they made that big trade. You know, the big deal was OEL. Yeah. That was a big name coming back. But Connor Garland has now kind of reap the benefits of that deal. And he's, you know, becoming a player that the Canucks now have to depend on, right? I mean, on that line with JT Miller and Dakota Joshua, JT Miller doesn't have his other buddies anymore. He's got to make new friends, right? and that's Connor Garland and Dakota Joshua. Those two obviously show that they had chemistry in the late stages of the third period as well. But yeah, Garland is every piece that the Canucks need him, and especially down the stretch run.
Yeah, and we talked about the round numbers earlier. We should throw, I mean, there were a couple with Connor Garland. 400th NHL game. And the first of his two on the night was his 100th goal in the National Hockey League. So it was funny. He was the feature interview at the bench pregame with Canucks reporter Kate Pedersen, who started the interview by asking about 400 games in the National Hockey League and what that meant for a guy that's had to scratch and claw his way to get to the best league in the world. And he bluntly said, it's not a big deal. He's not too worried about the individual stuff. I'm really looking forward to seeing Connor Garland play some playoff hockey because he has shown that desperation and urgency for much of this season. And even though he's one of the smaller guys out there, obviously with a huge heart and a massive part of this Canucks comeback win against the Vegas Golden Knights. They even the season series, two wins apiece, so they split it right down the middle. Vegas was a winner here in Vancouver back in November, and then they didn't see each other for a while. Canucks were 3-1 winners down in the Fortress not that long ago at the start of March, and obviously were the second best team on the ice when they were there last week, but good on the Canucks. And keep that in mind. I mean, a season series that is split 2-2 because there is still a strong possibility that they're not done with the defending champs.
No.
They could very well see them here. Again, there's so much volatility that it's hard to, you know, look at the playoff matchups right now because they'll change probably four or five more times before things ultimately are set in stone. But we're getting there. There are only four games remaining now.
And, you know, it's funny. You look at me and you laugh a little bit because we knew very early on, I mean, maybe in the early stages of this season, this is a playoff bound team. You know, and some points of after the trade deadline, and it kind of got into those dark days where it's kind of boring and, you know, guys getting up for games and things like that. But, you know, now there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's four games left. You're going to have some practices. You know, you're starting at home. You just don't know what day. You kind of know who your potential first round opponent is. A lot of scoreboard watching. That's one of the things now where when we talk to players, how much are you scoreboard watching now? And you guys will say that they don't pay attention to it, but you know they do. So interesting parts, obviously, Jeff. Get to the YouTube chat here. Someone wants to ask, what's the magic number for the Canucks to clinch the division?
I think it's four is really the magic number now. If the Canucks, they win the remaining four games, obviously they're finished at top, the Pacific Division, but two more outright losses by the Edmonton Oilers and two more wins by the Vancouver Canucks, I think will get it done. Again, you have to factor in that the Oilers still have six games to play. But those six games are going to be played over nine nights, two more sets of back-to-backs. Edmonton's got Vegas, Arizona, and then the Canucks still this week. So Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and then they finish with 3-4, San Jose, Arizona, and they're in Colorado on the final night of the season. The Canucks, they've got Arizona here on Wednesday. Then they play in Edmonton on Saturday. They're home to Calgary on Tuesday the 16th, and they finish up in Winnipeg on the 18th. So basically, I think the Oilers have one more loss to give. They can probably afford one regulation loss. Beyond that, it gets a little dicey. And this was a missed opportunity for Vegas because with a win, Vegas would have jumped from wildcard two back into third place in the Pacific Division. They would have leapt past the Los Angeles Kings. Look, the way the Kings are playing and you look at their schedule, I'm not sure Los Angeles loses again. They've got five games to go. They're in Anaheim. That's their last road game of the season. And then they finish with four at home: Calgary, the Ducks, Minnesota, and Chicago. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Any loss right now for Vegas is a costly one for them. So they remain wild card two. They're a point behind Los Angeles and two back of Nashville. So the Predators are the top wild card spot for right now. Obviously for Vegas, they'll try to get back on track and see how they respond with the game in Edmonton coming up on Wednesday night.
When you looked at this game and when you looked at the game in Vegas when the Canucks got dominated and ended up losing that game, but this one early, it looked like it could get away from them really quick. And you watch this and you say, oh no, not again. I mean, I think if you're a fan or if you're Rick Tocchet, even behind the bench, like I think that, you know, there's something in his mind that might have said, maybe do I use that timeout early if it's going to get away? I think the thought probably went into his head, but your team eventually does settle down. You get on the power play and you get to work. And the guy that I want to mention, obviously, we've talked wax poetically about him all season long, and we will continue forever as long as he's a Vancouver Canuck, and that's Quinn Hughes. Because as soon as they got that first power, he had four shots on net, right? And Quinn Hughes fires the puck a lot, but I just felt like, you know, he knew his team was down. And he knew that the only way to get back into this game was for him to do things and for him to lead by example. And I think that by him doing what he did and starting off early on that power play was able to make things happen.
We're doing this live now after each and every Canuck game. So we got started in this format on Saturday with Farhan Urf is in here now. There's four games to go. And then, of course, we will do this after each and every playoff game for the Vancouver Canucks. And again, I think many in the market probably feeling a little bit better about the Canucks playoff chances. We know that they're going and they've clinched home ice, but still a question of who they're going to face in round one. But wins like this one maybe restore a little bit of faith and belief in this hockey club. So we're just getting started. Thanks so much for sticking with us here for the first couple. And we've still got lots ahead here. We'll get to our rink-wide Vancouver 3-star selection. We'll have the stat that stands out. We'll get a little more listener feedback in as well, and we'll start to look ahead to these final four for the Vancouver Canucks. This is Rinkwide Vancouver. It's a presentation of the Applewood Auto Group at Nissan, Langley, Surrey, Richmond. You can lease a 2024 Rogue right now for 2.99% for 24 months or a 2024 Pathfinder. You can lease that for 3.99% for 24 months, finance at 3.99% up to 36 months. Jeff and Irf with you here. This is Rinkwide Vancouver.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
We are back. Rinkwide Vancouver. Jeff and Irf with you here. If you've heard us talking about this event coming up on April the 20th, the return of playoff hockey to Vancouver, we're going to celebrate it at the Hollywood. Join us and the rest of the Canucks Army crew. It's Carson Price. Saturday, April 20th, Hollywood Theater in Kitsilano. Special tribute to our buddy Jason Botchford. It's all presented by Fountain Tire. It's called Bro Do Your Playoffs. It's a media event celebrating the life and legacy of Botch. It's going to feature shared memories, some special guests, an exclusive musical performance from the matinee, and a celebration, again, of Vancouver's triumphant return to the playoffs for the first time since the bubble, and obviously the return of playoff hockey to Vancouver for the first time since 2015. Make the shift to more savings. Save up to 25% on select tires until April 20th, plus a bonus $50 off any service of $150 or more. Book your appointment at fountaintire.com. Some restrictions apply. The event's in support of BC Mental Health Foundation. Tickets to the event, $10. That's it, $10. Join us on April 20th for a memorable experience where every ticket purchase contributes to making a positive impact on the community. You can get your tickets at nationgear.ca. Again, we will get to our three-star selection coming up here. The stat that stands out, man, we had a lot of choices for the stat that stands out with all those round numbers. But we encourage your feedback here, and we certainly want to incorporate viewer and listener feedback at our channels, Rinkwide Van. You can see on the screen all of the ways that you can interact with us here on social media. So we'll certainly try our best to incorporate some of that as we move through these Rinkwide programs. Grant's asking, what's the ideal playoff team for the Canucks to face? Does a result like this change your view on the fact they went 2-2 against the Golden Knights this season? And they lost, and they were clearly the second best team back in November, but two of the three wins here recently for the Vancouver Canucks against this Golden Knights team, you know, does that give you reason for pause that maybe the Stanley Cup champs are, after the way things have gone against the Los Angeles Kings? I wonder if people look at this and say, hey, you know, maybe you roll the dice and take your chances against the Golden Knights.
Yeah, and you especially don't know what the situation is going to be with Mark Stone if and when he does come back into the lineup. I know everyone's going to joke and say he's going to be ready for game one, but from a lacerated spleen, I'm not entirely sure how healthy you are. I think if you're the Vancouver Canucks, you can't really hope for a matchup. Yeah, I think you look at it and you say, we got to play our game no matter who we're playing. I know the fans and the media, and we can all laugh about it and joke about it and things of that nature, but I think if you're them, you really don't care who you play. You just want to be playing your best once you get in game one, and they were at their best against Vegas.
Yeah, picking your opponent is a dangerous game. Ultimately, the chips are going to fall. They will have an opponent when all is said and done. They know that they're going to face tough competition, whether it's Vegas, whether it's LA, whether it's the Nashville Predators. Again, we'll see how it all plays out. And just 2 points separating those three teams. So I think there's still going to be some jockeying as they go here over the final 10 days of the regular season. D. Levy says this team's almost capable of scoring at will, but needs solid goaltending to go a few rounds. Look, they're going to get Thatcher Demko back at some point. I was a little surprised that he wasn't with the group at the morning skate this morning. I'm curious to see what practice holds on Tuesday. He's not going to play Wednesday. He hasn't had a full practice with this group. He came out on the road trip, skated a little bit there after the sessions, but he hasn't had a full practice. So Wednesday, to me, is off the boards. He's not coming back against Arizona. I do wonder, though, if he's that close, if he can get a couple of skates in this week, is he a possibility for Edmonton, or do you continue to push this back even further and get him those final two games, the regular season, the Calgary and Winnipeg games, and hope that he's dialed in by then? You know, another week to rest up and finally tune whatever it is that he needs. But I don't think Wednesday's an option for him.
Yeah, I think he's going to practice with the main group tomorrow. So there's that, which will be one of the measuring stick points to how he feels and after he gets that under him. Wednesday, I agree with you, Jeff. I think that one might be a little bit of reach. But if he's good enough to back up, he's good enough to play. And that's the one they'll be interested to look at and see what happens there. Saturday against Edmonton, I think the Canucks want to get him into games sooner than later. I understand that he wants the rest and things like that. But I think that if you're the Canucks and if you're Ian Clark and you're Rick Tocchet, you want to get your goalie in and feeling the games and meaningful games. Edmonton's going to be a tough game, right? And then you go and play Winnipeg on the last game of the season. That's going to be a tough one as well. Calgary in the middle of that. But I think if you're them and from that side of it, you want to get them in.
Well, we're talking about injured guys and the comeback trail. We saw Elias Lindholm at the morning skate. Wasn't involved in line rushes. Obviously didn't play, but has been skating out. Went on the road trip, was skating with the group there. Rick Tocchet said day to day now. So we'll see about Wednesday. Again, a practice day on Tuesday, and that might give us some intel on the way things will shake down. What's your gut tell you about Lindholm for Wednesday?
Yeah, I think all signs point towards him getting a practice in with the team. He had the morning skate. He's going to practice on Tuesday. And if that, another morning skate with the team, I believe he's going to play on Wednesday. And, you know, it's just managing the injury. And, you know, he had the time off to be able to heal it a little bit. And if you looked at it, right, from this game, Canucks lost to JT Miller. Lost a few faceoffs late in that game. That's an area that the Canucks need him in, right? That penalty kill. He's an area that helps that. I know it was good, but that's an area that he helps them improve in. So getting him back and obviously getting him having to have a feel for the game and what playoff hockey's going to be like over here down the stretch is probably pretty good. But Wednesday, I think, is a target date for him to come back.
Kale on Facebook asking, what's more impressive, Miller, 100 points, or Besser, 40 goals. I know where I'm going.
I know where you're going to, I think. I think it's Brock, 40 goals.
Yeah, JT got 99.
Yeah.
I mean, he showed the potential. Brock, we've been asking the question since his rookie season of 29, you know, could he get 30? Well, the answer is yes, he got 30, and now he's tacked on 10 more. And so with all due respect to JT Miller, who has had an incredible season, look, he's paving a path to being one of the all-time great Vancouver Canucks. And who would have imagined we'd say that at the time of the trade? 100 points is absolutely nothing to sneeze at, but I just think answering that specific question to me, Brock, getting to 40 is the slightly more impressive accomplishment this season.
Brock now with an all-time record. He's now the 10th Canuck in this long history of the Vancouver Canucks to reach the 40-goal mark.
Well, let's get then to the stat that stands out, because this dovetails in nicely. The stat that stands out from this hockey game, you can see, is Brock Besser with those 40 goals, the first since Ryan Kessler and Daniel Sedin. And before that, it was Bertuzzi and Nazan. So in the last 20 years, 40 goals has been a challenge for anybody wearing a Vancouver Canucks uniform. And that's why, again, salute to Brock Besser. And I tweeted out, hopefully his dad, Duke, looking down from above with a smile on. Obviously, we know the story and how close those two were, and would have been incredible if Duke had been here to see it. But for Brock to push on the way that he has here and become a 40-goal scorer for the first time in his National Hockey League career, without a doubt, that is the stat that stands out. It's presentation of Fountain Tire. As we head further into spring, ask the Fountain Tire experts about their seasonal car care package to keep your vehicle in top shape. Find your nearest service dealer at fountaintire.com. And from the stat that stands out, we'll move right into the three stars from this hockey game. And lots of options, obviously, lots of choices, lots of guys to pick from. And you can see the three that we settled on were the three in the building, although we flipped the second and third stars. But I don't think there's much doubt. Connor Garland, the motor's been running much of this season. But for him to get the ball rolling for the Vancouver Canucks, you can't get a comeback if you can't get that first one. And so that was big on the power play. And again, paying a price to get to the dirty areas of the ice. And then what turns out to be the game winner. I mean, the way goals were going in, especially in the power play, who thought that, you know, we'd see a scoreless third period of play. But credit to the Canucks again. I thought they did a really nice job the way that they kind of locked it down, the way that Rick Tocchet has preached to his hockey club. But Connor Garland with a couple of goals, up to 18 on the season. First star in this hockey game. Jack Eichel in on all three. Yeah. It looked like he might run the Canucks out of their own rink the way the game started, with goals at 151 and 806, and then gets the primary assist on the Noah Hanifin goal that put them back in front 3-2 midway through the second period. So a big night for Jack Eichel. He had 3 points. JT Miller with the 3 points that got him to 100. So we had to find a way to get JT into our three stars as well. And as we so often do, Irf, with the honorable mentions, Brock at 40. But also Quinn Hughes, just such a catalyst for this hockey club. And, you know, when we talked about the power plays, you know, he took one for the team, literally. I mean, that's a high hit in the first period. You took a knock the other night against Los Angeles late in the game as well. That has to be a bit of a concern. But at the same time, he knows it's coming. He knows what he means to the Canucks and the game plan for the other teams. You know, he's going to get that kind of treatment come playoff time. So, you know, I'm glad the referees at least got the arm up, put the Canucks back on the power play there. If you're going to take a run at Quinn Hughes across the line, you have to hope that the officials are going to govern the game and Canucks take the power play gladly. And it was Quinn Hughes himself who scored there, his 17th goal of the season. So another honorable mention. And it kind of it brings back this point that we've made lots of times before, that Quinn easily could have been one of the three stars in this hockey game. But you can say that almost every night for him. So not that we're taking him for granted in any way, but he has just leveled up to a degree that has just been so fun to watch. And, you know, I said it earlier about wanting, can't wait to see Connor Garland in the playoffs. Can't wait to see Quinn Hughes play playoff hockey either.
Quinn Hughes tied for fourth most points in a single season by a U.S.-born defenseman all time. It's crazy. Like 88. Another, obviously, you know, we mentioned that, you know, he's an honorable mention here, but we laughed and joked because he is a defenseman, but we said that he blocked a shot in the third period there in the late stages of the game. We said, oh man, I don't know if we want Quinn Hughes blocking shots, but that's just another, you know, thing in his repertoire that obviously he's not afraid to go out and do that if he has to. And we see other guys as well. Elias Pettersson throws his body in front of shots. Brock Besser doing as well, but it's the commitment and it's all of them wanting to, it's a collective want to win. And I think when they have that and they're all together, very few teams in this National Hockey League that can go toe-to-toe against the Vancouver Canucks on a night where they're on.
Connor Garland, Jack Eichel, JT Miller, the three stars here on Rinkwide Vancouver, a presentation of Greta Bar. And it's time for another game day hosted by Canucks Army and Sakaris and Price at Greta Bar YVR. You can join the crew at our favorite game day watch party spot, Greta Bar YVR, Thursday, April 18th. That's the game, regular season finale, game 82, the playoff tune-up, call it whatever you want, Canucks at Winnipeg. Doors open at 4 o'clock. Tickets are only $10. Good food, good prizes, and a guaranteed good time. Get your tickets at nationgear.ca before they sell out. All right, this is something that we want to do here as we move closer to the playoffs, and I'm borrowing from days gone by in radio, but we used to do this because we know the power of the Canucks brand and Canucks Nation. And if you go on the road and you've had a chance to travel and cover the Canucks and you see it wherever they are in other NHL rinks, but it extends beyond the continent as well. So we're calling this Rinkwide Worldwide, and we want to know where you're checking us out. Drop us a note at Rinkwide Van on our socials and tell us where in the world you are. Like, I don't want to hear Steve in Port Moody or, you know, Bob in Port Coquitlam.
Or Harry in Surrey.
We love all of our viewers and listeners. So we like the people locally, but this is a little bit of an experiment to find the reach of the program and where in the world people are gearing up for the return of playoff hockey for the Vancouver Canucks. So drop us a note on our social channels at Rinkwide Van. Let us know where you're watching, but also what time was puck drop, wherever it is that you are watching, because I love to get notes from the future, people that are watching
watching the game tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow morning, wherever they are in lots of parts of the world. So we'll continue to do that. We'll track this as well. We might even come up with a Rinkwide map, but we'll call it Rinkwide Worldwide, and we want to know where on this planet you're checking us out and checking out Vancouver Canucks hockey. All right, 48 wins. So the 50-win mark is still very much within the reach of the Vancouver Canucks, as they knock off the defending champs by a score of 4-3. Connor Garland with a pair. Brock Besser with that magical 40 goals as well. Artur Silov's now 3-0 on the season. It wasn't pretty. We didn't even spend a lot of time talking about him, but you have to give him some credit for settling in, and he made some saves. There were some chances. Noah Hanifin in the back door when it was 2-2 in the second period, and I thought Silov's looked good sliding across. Amadio came down the left wing in the second period, 2-on-1, and then power play Vegas had when Pedersen took the penalty in the third period, and yeah, they needed Artur Silovs to step up there. So last year, his debut against a really good Rangers team, he also faced the Boston Bruins. Yep. So there were some challenges. But given the way the Canucks had played recently, the fact that Casey DeSmith had struggled a little bit, this was easily his biggest assignment in the National Hockey League so far. And he runs his record to 3-0. And overall, he's 6-2 now as a National Hockey Leaguer.
I ask you this, Jeff, when you got the call up, and obviously everyone saw what he did for his country at the World Championships and how well he was able to play there and, you know, obviously galvanize an entire country. What do you think the expectation was for him when he got the call up? Like, we knew Demko was going down. We knew that it was dismissed team at that point. But what was the expectation for Silovs?
Well, I guess I wanted to believe that Thatcher Demko was going to be back within a month. Yeah. And tomorrow will be 1 month. It'll be April 9th, and it was March 9th. I always thought that Anaheim game, sort of at the end of the homestand, if DeSmith could hold down the fort, you know, the way that they didn't travel for the month of March and they had all the spacing between games, I figured, like, Casey DeSmith played 8 in a row last year for Pittsburgh, that he could handle a run of games. But I figured at some point that they would get Silovs in. And I thought, you know, handpicking an opponent like Anaheim that doesn't score much and hasn't won an awful lot, like, that was a good fit for him. And then the back-to-backs in Arizona as well. You know, did I see this passing of the torch? And I'm not sure that that's what it is, but I think Rick Tocchet does have a decision now on Wednesday against Arizona. Is it win and you're in? You beat Arizona last week. Do you go back to Casey DeSmith? So I think there are some decisions to be made by the Vancouver Canucks. And I'm not here to suggest that Silovs has moved past DeSmith full-time as the backup, because I think, too, you have to keep Abbotsford's playoff in mind. Abbotsford's going to play some playoff hockey, and I don't know how long they'll be in the AHL postseason, but I can't imagine the organization would miss the chance to have Artur Silovs go back to the AHL and log playoff starts and get that experience. And then, you know, if you need him, you can bring him back up. If Abbotsford's eliminated and the Canucks are still around, you can bring him back in as a black ace. But first of all, if Demko's activated, he's up on an emergency basis, so they've got to get him back. But I just think that playoff experience for Artur Silovs, and I assume the guy's playing in the NHL, if he goes back, that he's going to get the net down in Abbotsford. So we'll see how that shakes out. But yeah, my expectation was that he would get a couple games. I think if you'd asked me at the start of the season, I thought maybe we would see a world in which they brought him in for a couple of practices when the two franchises were both here at home and maybe get him a spot start or two along the way. So that part of it surprised me that they didn't use the farm system in that way. I think they have done it effectively, and we've seen them shuttle guys in and out. But that was one of the things at the outset of the season. Because remember, at the start of the season, before DeSmith was acquired, there was some thought that Arkansas might be the backup here. Yeah. Obviously, it didn't turn out that way. So 6-2, it's hard to argue with that as a win-loss record. He's just knocked off the Vegas Golden Knights, and that's a feather in his cap. And see if he gets the next start against Arizona, knowing full well that the Canucks have beaten the Coyotes twice this season, both by 2-1 counts. So yes. I don't know. Funny, because Arizona's been scoring a bunch of goals, and obviously they hung six in the third period on this Vegas team, beat them 7-4 the other night. You know, the game against the Canucks is sort of their outlier in the last five or six games where they were held to just the one goal on the power play. You know, the Canucks would probably take another low event game like that. I don't know that you want to get into a track meet with a team that has no cares right now. They're not going to the playoffs. Guys are just trying to pick up their points along the way. Anyways, we'll see how it shakes down. My guess is the Canucks would like more of what they saw in the third period against Vegas than what they saw early in this hockey game. But at the end of the night, did they win? Yes, they did. 4-3. Is the final score. And yeah, there was some buzz back in that building, as there will be obviously for games 1 and 2 whenever the postseason begins. But that is going to do it for us here. Our second live run on Rinkwide. And again, we'll be doing this after the remaining four games, and then really excited to be doing this in the playoffs as well. So for Irf and for the guys behind the scenes, Jacob and Mike, this is Jeff. Thanks so much for checking us out here on Rinkwide Vancouver, brought to you by the Applewood Auto Group.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.